Welcome to 321 Go the podcast. I'm John Pelkey.
And I'm Carissa Galloway, and we're bringing you stories from start to finish to keep the everyday athlete motivated to keep moving towards the next finish. Today on 321 Go, we've got Mr. John Pelkey diving into the ins and outs of one of his favorite non-run Disney events, St. Pete Run Fest. He's got Ryan and Keith to chat about everything coming up with that race. And I think it's really important that we get to know races outside of Run Disney, because every race is an extremely different experience. Run Disney is so entertainment driven. Some races can be performance driven, as I'm going to talk about in our chat. Some races can really be about embracing the running community. So thank you, John, for bringing us this great chat. I'm going to talk with Weston about Running Man and our experience there. We are so excited that you're listening. We've got a new platform for subscribers on Patreon, so check that out in the show notes. Some giveaways, some merch, virtual happy hours for those of you who are our supporters. But thank you guys for listening, for sharing, and let's do this. All right, now before we dive into John's episode, I do kind of want to highlight maybe why John and I did separate episodes the last 2 weeks, and why John is not on this chat, and why he was not on the episode with Matthew. And that, as any of us have ever owned pets know, one of the worst things that we can go through is when our pet gets sick or our pet unfortunately has to be put down. And that is what John has been dealing with the last 2 weeks with his beloved pup Lennon. So we just want to send our hugs and our sympathies to him and Jody, because as I said, if you've ever dealt with that, you know how challenging it could be. And John and Jody are the most avid animal lovers. And he said, you know, earlier I was talking to him about it. He said, it's just part of the bargain. And I said, I know, but it doesn't mean that that part of the bargain doesn't hurt. So we want to just, again, send love to John and Jody.
We love you, John.
We love you, John. We love you, Jody. And before we get into the episode, I want to chat a little bit about where I was last weekend, and that was in Rome, Georgia at Running Man. I guess we call it Running Man Festival, a sort of three-day running festival. If you followed my Instagram, you saw all the insanity in the best possible way. So what it's built around is the race. On Saturday, there is a roughly one-mile loop that's open for 8 hours. You can run a 5K, a 10K, a half, a full, a 50K, whatever you want. But it's such a cool format because that's the race. But other than that, there are amazing thought leaders in everything from nutrition to sauna to recovery to sprouting that are doing these amazing talks. And it's the world's largest outdoor sauna. There's DJs. There's a slip and slide. There's cold plunge. There was a Better For You bodega where you literally could walk in. There were like all these amazing brands of food and you just took it for free. So I wanted to bring in Mr. Galloway briefly to chat about what he thought about Running Man. Hi, Weston.
Hello there.
So you were actually going to Running Man before I was.
Yeah. We had an initial conversation with Jesse Itzler and his team on what it would look like to bring Jeff in, because Jesse is a huge advocate of Run, Walk, Run. He even said it during the weekend that it is the reason that he is still running, and he's all about longevity, and that Run, Walk, Run has given him the ability to do that. So he had never actually met Jeff before, so we kind of talked about what it would be like to bring Jeff in, and so we set up some clinics there, and then the conversation turned to you and seeing if you could come as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, you is me. Real quick, for those of you who are like, who is Jesse Itzler? One, go follow him on Instagram because he's very, very inspiring, and he does it in really quick little sound bites that can kind of like stick with you. He is, I mean, he's a company owner. He's a millionaire. He's an entrepreneur. He created Zico Coconut Water. He created Marquee Jets. He's married to the fantastic Sarah Blakely from Spanx. And he's just someone who has an idea and takes unconventional ways of making it happen. Back in the day, he made theme songs for every single NFL, I think an NBA team. He had a record deal, which the story of how he got that is crazy. But when I think of him, I think of sort of some of what my philosophy is like. The answer is yes. Like, what was the question? So this is something Jesse created. So yeah, Jesse reached out to Jeff. Jeff was there. I was there. Your dad also led a shakeout run. He did a talk. Your dad ran. You guys also got to bring in Chris Twiggs, who is Jeff's chief training officer. So what was the response to people there when you guys were talking about Run, Walk, Run?
It was amazing. I mean, I think this was a little bit out of the norm of the regular person that knows about Run, Walk, Run. So it was opening up to like a completely almost new group of people. And with Jesse's kind of blessing behind it, people were just enthralled by it. And we had a ton of people coming up afterwards, talking about it, wondering how they could implement it the next day, because they knew that it was going to help them, you know, extend that length of their long run, like we all know that it can do. So it was super cool. Chris got to join the talk, and I call Chris like the official hype man of Run, Walk, Run. He's so energetic, and he just has so much of a knowledge base of Jeff and his teachings and whatnot. And so he was there to kind of to do the beer mile, obviously, which he says he will never do again because this was his first one. I second that. It was not my first one, possibly my last one.
So wait, just the beer mile. It's every 400 meters, you're chugging a beer.
You start with a beer, you run 400, chug a beer, run a 400, chug a beer, run a 400, chug a beer, and finish.
But you've done one before. Where'd you do one before?
On a track.
At?
In college.
In college. Okay. So do you think that time was faster than your time this time?
Possibly. There was a big hill in this one.
There was a big hill. And I don't think anybody really realized it because we thought it was like a circular horse track, car track, whatever. There was not an alcoholic beer. There was athletic brewing was an option. Real beer was an option. You chose what?
I went with the 50-50. There was other things going on that day, so I didn't want to...
This was before Jeff's talk.
This was before the talk.
No, Jeff did not do the beer mile.
I knew we were going to be integrating with some other people, and so didn't go with the four diesel alcoholics.
Integrating with other...
went with the half and half.
Yeah, and I sent my girlfriend some pictures from Saturday night. So Saturday night, Mike Posner, who... of the Cooler Than Me fame, I Took a Pill in Ibiza fame, did a concert. He is part of Jesse's group. He's climbed Everest. He's in that sort of thought leadership group. He ran the 50K. But my point is that a lot of people after the beer mile went then into the sauna, which terrible idea drunkenness-wise. But on Saturday night, Mike Posner did the concert, and then they had another band in like a smaller venue. And my girlfriend texts me and she's like, do you read anything on the Kindle? And I like sent her a video and I was like, I don't have time to read. This is my life. And she was like, are you at an adult frat party? It did possibly look like that. So long story short, if you are interested in running in a really cool environment, listening to amazing thought leaders, Food Babe, who you guys might be familiar was there. Again, Mike Posner, a lot of really cool people. And then there was glamping. Glamping was an option. People camp. So it was kind of like if you're not like me, like not Coachella might be too much for you. And you also like to run and you like things that are a little healthier. This would be an option. We have to wrap soon because quite honestly, I have 3 minutes to get Claire to gymnastics and I have to change clothes. But you said you were going to run a half and then you were like not sure you were going to run the half. But then somehow you ran a 50K. So one, are you going to grow a beard, wear plaid and live in the woods? Or two, why?
So the really cool thing about this event is that it's open to everyone. So you can do a 5K, a 10K, half marathon. You can run for 7 hours, whatever you want to do. And I signed up, quote unquote, for the half marathon. But I knew I was going to be there all day. So the weather was absolutely perfect for doing any kind of long.
Like it was so amazing. Cloud cover. It was supposed to rain all weekend, but like the weather was just a perfect temperature that I think for everybody that was just, we know when you're running in good weather, you're just very blessed. And then you were going to pace. So you and Chris were running 60-30 or 90-30 so people could join you, get the feel of Run, Walk, Run. So that's what you started off at.
That's what I started off at. Chris and I were actually like kind of doing the same kind of pace, but I was running for 90 seconds. He was running for 60 seconds. He was running much harder than I was during those times of running. But we had a bunch of people with us and it was really cool because they'd never done it before. Two of them have already signed up for coaching with Chris because it was such an impactful experience on them. But yeah, so I got through the half. That's what I knew I was going to do. I got the people that wanted to do the half.
What was his name?
Mark.
Mark never run over 4 miles.
Yeah, he'd run 4 miles, and he thought that potentially he could finish the half, but thought it was going to be a really terrible experience for him, especially afterwards, and loved it. Had a great time. And so, yeah, I knew I was going to get through the half, and then I was like, well, what else am I going to do all day? I can sit on a chair and listen to
my wife.
Yeah, listen to Carissa talk about things, or I can just continue running. And so I thought I was running and just didn't stop.
But you did. At what point you had a sandwich? So you got to like, what? When did you have the sandwich? Because you had lunch with me at like 19 miles?
I think that was about 19.
And then you were like, I'm going to do the marathon. And we were like, oh, that's cool.
I mean, that's the thing about this event. Like you just, they're food trucks. You just get off the course and then go back in where you got off and you do another lap.
And I talked to Chris about this, that I loved this format because I would actually run every other lap with you in the beginning. I did a 10K because I did have to announce, and then it got to where I had to announce a little bit more and I couldn't keep running. But that you don't feel like you're first or last. You have no idea what lap anybody is on. You have no idea how far someone's going. You have no idea who's going, you know, you can see, but like, you don't feel pressure of distances on yourself, of time on yourself. And so for you and for me, I would never just go run a 10K in the middle of a race, but like, let me do a lap and let me chill. Let me do a lap and let me chill. Like, such a supportive environment, and it allowed you to do a 50K. How does it feel to be an ultra marathoner?
Pretty much the same as being a non-ultra marathoner.
Okay, cool.
Well, and I think it's because I like feel fine. The next day, I thought I was really going to be hurting and not be able to work out, you know, for a week or whatever. But I actually feel completely fine, and you know, a testament to Run, Walk, Run to really get me there. But just the ability to jump in back on this loop was so cool. And throughout the day, I ran with all types of people, whether they're running faster than me or slower than me or walking. I walked with Jesse for half a lap, just to talk to people. And that is the super cool thing about this event. You know, it's a community of like-minded people that want to know about wellness, that want to just take things in, and you learn things about people and you want to network with them. Met so many cool people, such a great experience. And Jesse didn't know if he was going to put it on again for the next year, but he is. And, you know, we look forward to going back, next year.
No, I think it was such a super cool event. I don't know if I or Jeff will be involved next year, but we hope so. If not, maybe we'll just go check it out. We did stay in an Airbnb because Mama doesn't love camping. The last thing I'll say, because my gosh, I got to get dressed and go take my kid to gymnastics, is when I first started, I got there and like jumped on the mic, didn't really have a lot of instruction, just start talking. And everybody's like, wow, you are so much better than the guy last year. And I was like, gosh, wow, that's really nice. Like a lot of people are saying this. Like I really just said a couple things. So then I go into this Better For You bodega where there's all these like wellness brands you can try. And I'm like looking for like a sparkling water or something. And I grab this drink and I walk back and I'm like, oh, this has like THC in it. This is not what I should drink right now. And I say something to their people and they were like, oh yeah, the announcer last year had like 5 of those and then he was useless. So I'm not sure if I'm a great announcer or just better than that guy after 5 CBD drinks.
Lots of shrooms, lots of
that I did not partake in during the work hours. But oh, there was an open bar, which I
good
did.
Good shrooms.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of good shrooms. We can talk about that in Healthier You next week. I did partake in the open bar at the Mike Posner concert. So Running Man, check it out, All Day Running Company. And now, here's John's interview.
Okay, civilians, it's time for the goods. Let's get on to the interview.
All right, Ryan and Keith Jordan, welcome to 321 Go, the podcast. Going to start this the way we start all of our podcasts. And I'll start with you, Ryan, because ostensibly you're the bigger boss for me. Though I think Keith probably runs the entire operation and you're just kind of a figurehead, but we'll start with this.
My wife actually runs it all. And we're all figureheads.
That, you know what, that really goes without saying because my wife works it too. And she pretty much in charge of me, but Ryan, I'll start with you. First of all, how are you? And let everybody know, where are you?
John, I am wonderful. And thanks for having us on. It's so great to see you. And it's so great to see the popularity of your running club.
It's huge. It's just blowing up everywhere.
I absolutely love watching your progress out there. I'm doing great, and I am in today live from beautiful St. Petersburg, Florida.
We're going to spend some time talking about how beautiful St. Petersburg is, and folks, it's not your grandfather's St. Petersburg anymore. Keith, welcome to you. How are you? And since you're in the same shot, I'm assuming you're in the same place, but I'll let you answer that. How are you and where are you?
I am tremendous. And I am in the same place. I am in Ryan's living room, which is also, I mean, you could say it's maybe Runfest headquarters as well. So
very nice. Solid piece of artwork behind you. So Ryan, congratulate your wife on picking the decor, because I know that had to be the case.
Treehouse Gallery, John. I got to make sure I put my promos in for my sponsors, the Treehouse Gallery on 22nd and St. Pete.
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. All right. So we'll get to all the St. Pete first, but I want you to introduce yourselves to everybody and let you know. So everybody who listens knows that my wife and I do St. Pete Run Fest every November and Pier Run on 4th of July. But Ryan, I'll go to you first. When did this all get started? Because I wasn't there from day one. Let everybody know how this came to be. What gave you the drive to say, hey, here's a really good idea. I'm going to become a race director.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that being a great idea, but this is a true story. True story. So I'm a longtime St. Pete guy. I've been here for 25 years. I fell in love with this place. And we had some really big races that came through town as the city, you know, is really starting to grow up and you know, get more folks from out of town. And we had a really vibrant running community. All the big races left town. And so my older brother, I want to make sure it's clear that he is my older brother.
Much older.
Doesn't necessarily, can't always see the difference anymore as age has been pretty rough on me. But we were out for a run one day. He had just moved to town after a really long, successful career building up 70.3, some of the largest Ironman events in the world, and was fortunate enough to exit and come to St. Pete. And we're out for a run one day along our beautiful waterfront. And he asked me, why isn't there a world-class community-inspired running event here in St. Pete? And I gave him the whole story, you know, the races came, the races went, and there was no event here. So you can't make this stuff up. The next day, Keith calls the city of St. Petersburg and asks, what's the process for bringing a long distance endurance event to St. Pete? And literally the week after, he's like, well, the city's, we're bringing out a request for proposal. We're trying to get one back. And so we're going to have a request for proposal, solicit some proposals from other, you know, national running organizations to actually fill the void in our community. And that was the week after. And so it was just incredible timing. And then, well, wow. I think you might probably know how the story ends. You know, we ended up winning the RFP. So we're the official running event here of the city. That was now, John, over 8 years ago. So this will be our seventh running, eighth year of RunFest. And it was really just all came from a run along the beautiful waterfront, recognizing a need to build something to really showcase how amazing our community is. And the one thing you can say about a half marathon is no other events you can really have the kind of impact to show off a city like running 13 miles through the middle of it. So really yeah. Great opportunity for us to really present and showcase how awesome St. Pete really is.
Well, if you run like I do, you stare at your shoes the entire time and question your existence in every way. All right, Keith, when you approached them about this, I mean, how far into this process were they thinking about putting this together? I mean, did you get in just under the wire to put a proposal in? Did they have a lot of other folks doing it? Or was it, you know, were they at kind of the infancy of saying, hey, we want to bring one of these back?
It seemed like there had been a lot of interest, obviously, in Britain, you know. Obviously, St. Pete's amazing. And I don't know. I mean, I was thrown for a loop when I called him up. I was like, yeah, we're actually going to put an RFP for this. Well, all right. Well, how do we do that? And I we went through it. I mean, it actually took a long time. The process was quite something. And so, yeah, it was a unique experience. And it worked out. It worked out great for us. I mean, obviously, we were thrilled to be able to do it. And continue it forever, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, there was some really big, you know, running organizations that put their name in the hat for this thing, right? So, I mean, so a lot of names and logos you would recognize were competing for this asset. And The city really wanted to work on someone that had the background and experience, kind of the evidence of, you know, building world-class events, which, you know, Keith had, and then my local roots and relationships to really highlight what makes the city so unique. I think was really the combination that ended up, you know, getting us the opportunity to do this. And it was very hotly contested. So there was some, a lot of regional folks that wanted to participate and obviously win the business, but also some, you know, very large national groups that came in to try to win this as well. But so we're very fortunate. We think the city made the right choice. So.
Well, and I think it is the fastest growing participatory sport in the country. And I mean, you know this as well as I do, guys. On any given weekend, when we're down for St. Pete Run Fest, there are four or five other large races going on across the country. So I do want to, I'm a little interested in this, though, and I don't know how much of our listeners, and Carissa will probably yell at me for staying in the weeds with this, but organization of these events is always something that kind of amazes me. It's why I'm obsessed with the New York City Marathon, because wondering why would you even attempt that, and how do you do it? But what was that process like? Did you put in a written proposal? Do you have to go in and do a live presentation? How do you actually, you know, argue for you to get this race?
All of the above.
Wow.
All of the above. I mean, I think it's important because it's a big deal for the city, right? So there's obviously the requirements and the, you know, procedures that are, you know, that go, you know, with a formal RFP. And so, yeah, there was a, you know, a very in-depth, you know, written response, you know, with our credibility, our background, what our plan was to build something, then, you know, really trying to align it to the city's goals and mission. And I think that was a really important piece of it. And I think, again, then we had to present not only to, you know, the subcommittee that sponsored the RFP, but then also to city council. So, and it was uniquely contested because there's been a long history, not always positive, with some other large race franchises here in the city that put on events and then left town pretty abruptly. So the city council actually, you know, was really brought up to them as a result of that. So there was a lot of visibility around this particular RFP. So I say it made it more special for us, right? I think, you know, more of a special win, but it was.
You say interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
Interesting.
We learned a lot about, you know, city government.
So. We did. Probably more than we wanted to know, I would say, but.
Not always enjoyable, I can tell you, having dealt with that in my own. But it really does make sense. And let's give them a little bit of credit, because they certainly understand the concept of not wanting some just franchise to drop in, because we've all heard the horror stories about the Olympics. You know, it all comes in, they spend all this money and then walk away and people are left holding the bag. And you really have a vested interest in St. Petersburg. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But Keith, I want to ask you this. As the veteran of putting on these races, were there any unique challenges with St. Petersburg? We talked about it's such a beautiful place, and where we start near the airport and the museum and all of that. Did you have to scope out different areas to get this thing to fruition? Because I just think about, there are a lot of areas in St. Pete where it's like, okay, we could start here and go here. We could start here and go here. How does that come about?
I think one of the interesting things about the city, and I tell the story all the time, is they're incredible to work with. I'm used to putting on these big events, and the first answer whenever you ask them a question was always no. Typically, right? You know, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. We started, I was like, you know what? We want to run right down Central. We want to highlight the city of St. Pete. We want to highlight this, this, and this. And everything was always absolutely yes. The city itself is, and the people here, it actually inspires us to want to do this, because they've been tremendous. They've been amazing, and we want to do something special for the city. A lot of it because of them. I mean, they're incredible to work with. And I tell them this all the time, so I'm not just blowing smoke when I say this, but you're amazing. Even traffic control, it's incredible. I mean, you know, it's a pretty complex event when you're dealing with an urban race. The police were always on time. They were in the right spots. They knew the instructions. Every cone was put in the right place. Barricades, everything was done, which is very unusual.
Sure.
You know, usually we're running around race morning, everything's going to be in the wrong place.
Right.
Yeah. Or not everything, but there's always usually some emergency.
Of course.
We've never faced that. I remember, you know, the first couple of years we ran through Tropicana Field. And so I'm out there, you know, we had to run these barricades for, I don't know, God, it was like a quarter of a mile. And so I show up there and I'm going to do it. You know, I've got the public works guy is going to show up out there. You know, so I show up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, expecting, and there's the police and public works already done. They had already put it all out, which spoke volumes to me. It's like, you know, because we're first year, we're out there.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we got it. And I was like, can we, I hope you got it. Like, this seems very complex, but everything was right. And every year since then, it's been amazing. So yeah, I guess the answer would be everything has always been a yes. You guys want to run here? Yes, we can do that. You want to do this? So no unique challenges in that respect at all. I mean, it's been a huge pleasure and joy to work with the city of St. Pete.
Yeah, and I can say just from experience, it for the athletes, and from what I've heard, that they praise it not only for its beautiful race, it's, you know, the sun's coming up, it's just such a lovely thing, but the organizational aspect of it, you know, so many of these races, you know, parking is difficult, getting to the corrals is difficult. I mean, there are just so many moving pieces, and it's great to hear. And like I said, I came in, I don't know, 6 years ago, and I was assured there'd be no math. I never found any instance where I ran into, you know, trying to get to where I had to go, that there was an issue. Everything seems to be well mapped out. So kudos to those folks in St. Pete. We're going to jump back to St. Pete for a minute, Ryan, because you said you've been there for 25 years. First of all, you have to tell everybody where you grew up, because we're all from Florida. No one was actually born here. I still argue that there are no neonatal hospitals in Florida, that people are born in international waters and then they're shipped in if they're not born in one of the other states. But
you're right.
Over the last 25 years, and I've been in Florida since 1985, I had some relatives in St. Petersburg, well, back at that point, but over the last 25 years, St. Petersburg has changed as much as any city in Florida that I've been in, because the idea that it was grandma and grandpa and a very old feeling city with a very European feel to it, it had that kind of Europe, a lot of European guests there. It is now a young and vibrant city. Can you talk a little about over the last 25 years, what you've seen, and tell everybody where you came from too?
Yeah, man, I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, it is really, the energy is wonderful and it really always has been. So I moved from, Keith and I grew up in New Hampshire. So yeah, much different community than St. Petersburg. Yeah, I moved here, and it was largely because of the uniqueness of the community, the art, the architecture, the incredible local restaurants. And I think the vibe of the community was very much, let's all work together to build something special. And I tell you, it was nothing more of a testimony to that than when we actually won the award. Because my first really difficult job was to go out and start talking to all the businesses that I really enjoyed. And when, you know, in 25 years ago, we didn't have quite the same number of options of restaurants and museums and, you know, local businesses and shops. And so, yeah, I went to the places that I thought were the best, and I had a lot of fun, sometimes too much fun. and I just started talking to the ownership groups and see if they wanted to be involved in what we're building. And, you know, so I started down the list, the three daughters, the green benches, right? So there's a theme there. And then I started going to some of my favorite restaurants. And
beer and food,
and asked if they wanted to be involved. And the spirit of the community really came together. Again, much like the city, we didn't hear no very often. And I think because really people wanted to show off our community. And I think that's really the underlying vibe of St. Pete, is this, you know, very unique kind of local feel. And as a result, we're attracting folks from everywhere. So now we've got this, you know, really unique culture of those that have been here and done that for a long time, preserving our uniqueness. But then it's coupled with, yes, a little bit more influx of capital. But if you still go downtown, you're not going to see a lot of chains. You're going to see very good local businesses that are really sharing in what we're doing. And as a result, you've got folks of all ages from all over the world. It's very inclusive too, which I think is important. Like, you don't have quite the, I mean, everyone seems to work together and live together here. And I think that's the result. You know, you got people, you know, really wanting to move here, and they are, as well as coming stay the weekend with us. So it's really amazing that the energy that really transformed the community. I still think when I first moved here, there was one or two restaurants downtown, and you saw everyone that you knew every time you went out. Now it's, yeah, I mean, you still have those wonderful local restaurants that were here when we first moved. But now you got a lot more diversity downtown in terms of things to do. So it's the vibe and the energy is really changed a lot in the last 25 years.
Yeah. And you can really tell. Talking to the athletes, you know, the 6 years ago, when I started, you know, a lot of people, particularly Central Florida people, North Florida, South Florida, they pop in, you know, drive over early morning of the race and then, you know, leave after the race. But more and more people talking about, you know, that we came in and spent the night. We came in early. We went. And I mean, that's obviously for the community. That's what they're looking for. They want to drive that sort of business. And you're right. So if you're going to run St. Pete Run Fest, I highly recommend come in a day early, stay after, because there's an awful lot to do. All right, let's get back nuts and bolts of races. We run in November. We'll go with Run Fest. We'll talk about Pier Run in a bit. We run in November. The race is over. Ryan leaves. We don't see him after about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He goes home and goes to sleep because he's been working so hard. When do you start planning the next year?
We already are.
I don't think it ever ends.
It never ends.
No. It overlaps then. The whole thing's overlapping. While you're looking at 2024 coming up in a couple of months, 2025 is also on the table and you're working with it.
Very much so. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the difference. I mean, it's really a year round effort. I mean, this is not something like that we put together in 30 days, you know, put up a, you know, start line, finish line, hit the gun and see you guys in a couple hours and you get on your half marathon. I mean, it is a year long effort to engage in the community. Cause I mean, I think that the important thing that we're, you know, when we did this, the why was, yeah, yes, we want to build a world-class event, you know, without a doubt. But, you know, with that, we also have some really important foundational elements of why we're doing this. And those take, you know, year-round engagement, right? So we really are passionate about sustainability and keeping our waterfront clean and beautiful. I mean, you'll see, you know, my brother's, you know, weird hand, you know, every day as he does social media, picking up garbage and plastics along our waterfront because it's important. So we're doing that all the time, as well as a charitable piece, right? So, I mean, we got into this, you know, so that we could make an impact. We could actually build roots and develop relationships across the community. And, you know, the charitable piece is a huge piece of why we do this. And again, that's not just for one weekend. So when we're out there planning and helping, you know, contribute to the free clinic and to the youth farm and Goal Together Pediatric Cancer Research, it takes time and energy and investment on both sides. So yeah, it's a definitely year round, effort. And then we're always thinking about how to improve it. Like it's kind of the sickness, John. You know, yeah. There's always areas of improvement, always things to get better. And although we haven't gotten to 2024 yet in terms of November, we're already thinking about what we can do better for 2025.
We were talking about that this morning, actually. Yeah. I mean, it's always ideas like, well, I don't think we can pull that off for this year, but next year, yes, we can.
Yeah.
Do
and
it.
I think people don't realize it. I mean, you also, you know, people take it for granted. They go to a race and there are t-shirts and there's merchandise. And it's like, well, that is a whole other thing that you have to, somebody has to take care of. And I'm sure that's ever changing as you're working with different vendors and all of that. All right, let's take you back to, you talk about improvements every year. The first year you've run the race, everybody's happy. They've had a party. They've had a beer at the end, whatever. You looked at it after that first year. Keith, I'm going to go to you because you're the veteran to put all these on. What was the first thing you went, okay, this is something that we have to change? Because there are always, it's just, again, so many moving parts. Not maybe it's not something change, something we really improve on from year one, because I assume the biggest changes are from year one to year two, like practically any event.
It's interesting because I thought we did a really amazing job. And I hate to say that. I mean, you know,
why would you?
You know, I mean, I think, oh, we're great. Look at, we're unbelievable. We'll pat ourselves on the back. I thought it's hard to say, you know, I mean, yeah, first and foremost, what are the rules, right? The rule, number one rule is everyone makes it through the course. No one gets lost. I mean, that's number one, right?
Hey, and anybody who's out there going, well, look, trust me, people get lost all the time.
We have quadruple fail safes to try to prevent that. People's like, that's not going to happen. It's like, I've seen it. So, yeah, signs, police, volunteers, barricades, cones, you can't go wrong. And, the police did an amazing job where that's not going to happen. I thought obviously, actually, I think also my goal was like, all right, now we're going to make it bigger and better, which is really our goal. I think logistically, I thought we did a really, really good job with it. There we go. We'll pat ourselves on the back again.
Hey, John, let me interrupt here because he did it just to see his younger brother fall apart. Let's be honest.
All right, we can talk on that. Yeah.
He enjoyed it so much. Like, because he's been through the, Iron Man, like a little bit different, stress levels when you got people in the water and you got, a mile bike ride. My first year at RunFest, John, I ended in a pile of humanity on the ground. And so he just enjoyed it as the older brother to sit there and kind of laugh. So when he says pat himself on his back, he's patting himself on the back.
Actually,
he laughed.
Okay. The expo planning. We certainly made some choices to move forward with that and do some things differently. And I mean, just that was interesting. Setting.
Well, you've actually anticipated my question, because I was going to say the expo and the post race, the race, Keith, you're a veteran of this. We have a course. We have a course that we like. We have our security people involved, all of our volunteers, whatever we need on the course. We've got all of it together. But people complain more about expos and post race at most races than anything else. And that was what I wanted to get to is like, first time around, you can have expectations and those expectations can be blown up in a second. So what were the changes you had to make then? I know Ryan and I have talked about award ceremonies from like the first minute we've met to every single year. And I think we finally have it down to, people go pick up their medals and everything.
Because that's exactly right. Yeah.
But that seems to me the amount of moving parts that you're dealing with there, because you have so many more, you have all the vendors that you're dealing with. And then there are a lot of other things, and you guys are so dialed into sustainability and not leaving trash places. And just, we want to leave it as beautiful as it started. That had to be, because the expo for these things, that's nothing like when you're doing an Ironman thing. Those people are there. They're there for a completely different reason, but you really do have to present something you're putting a show on for 4 days. You're not just doing a 1 day or 2 day run.
And for sure. I mean, I think if it was just the run for us, it wouldn't be nearly as interesting either. I mean, the whole experience, this is when I have to throw in my obligatory, my hero is Walt Disney. And how I actually approach what we're doing, like, can we just blow people away with the whole experience when they show up? Or do they feel like they're brought to a different world and something that you're building in a temporary site, right? So there's limits to what you can do with that, but that's certainly the goal. And that's something every year, build that bigger. And I think our challenge is it's never good enough. Like, whatever we do, we can do a better job with it. Not in a bad way, but for sure. Like, how do we make that? How do we make it bigger? And so, I always one comment we've learned for the expo not to have the tables all dropped in one spot, 200 yards from where they need to go. That's that's one thing. So we don't have to carry them all over the place. Which doesn't seem like a big deal, except it's when there's 200 of them, it is a big deal. So
it seems like a big deal. I'm sorry. It does seem like
that.
Big deal.
Yeah,
200 tables.
So other than that, yeah, I mean, each year, I think the expo, all of that stuff, because we're making that bigger. It's a challenge, right? And then how do you make it more efficient, easier to do?
I always just think, where the heck is the beer truck key?
Yes, we did lose the beer truck key the first night. I don't think we ever found it either.
We didn't, but we got in. We figured out a way to get into the beer truck. So that's something where I think we do better now. We have a spare beer truck key.
We've also learned.
I was going to say, you break into beer trucks better. So, oh, good. That's a skill.
You've also learned, the interesting thing behind the scenes is always much more chaotic than what everyone else sees. I've been through this, and, it's basically crisis management. No matter how well you plan, that's what it is. So I think for his perspective, I don't think he was expecting that. It's like, we plan all year for this. It'll be great. I said it will be, but there's going to be things that go wrong that are just not within our control. We'll lose a key. Something like, an aid station group will call in and we can't make it because four of our guys are sick, so we can't come today. That stuff happens. And so a lot of this is crisis management. And I said, but the only people who really see this is this small group of people that are putting it on. The public doesn't really.
I know that's typically. That's when people you get feedback from people, and I'm sure you guys get a lot of feedback, and obviously you take that very seriously, but a lot of times you just read it and go, yeah, but you don't really understand everything that goes into it. That wasn't exactly what you wanted to see or how you wanted it to go. And that brings up one, for every race that I've ever done, the key is, as a race announcer, is you just want to say, go at the time. You want to button that start time, because particularly in urban race, you have, obviously streets got to be cleared at some point. They're not going to let you, oh, it's all right, the runner started an hour and a half late. Great, we'll just keep the roads closed down. And we ran into that when there was an accident on the Howard Franklin Bridge over there.
Yeah.
And that's one of the, I'll say nothing bad about St. Petersburg, other than there are only a couple of access roads to get into downtown St. Pete, essentially. And if you have an accident on one of those and a backup, that could be a problem. So is that the main stress on a race day for you guys? Is it, let's just get this thing started at the right time?
It's a big part of it, obviously. And weather is always, it's always an issue, right? It's always something as soon as the 14-day forecast comes out,
But in Florida, what is that? The 14-minute forecast in Florida is not that
amazing in 14 days. And then the next day it says, now it's going to be terrible. And now we're going to have a tropical storm. And, it's one of those things that you can't control. So you try to control what you can control. And, I always say, we're huge optimists. But actually, in this regard, you have to be a pessimist. You have to think about what can go wrong and how to, what sort of fail safe do you have in place to fix that? Because things are going to go wrong.
Yeah.
And there are things people, I see it all the time. It's like, that's never going to happen. It's like, I've seen it happen, whatever it is. It's like that, so part of it is can you plan for all of those things? I think the challenge that we have everything we do is so elaborate now. So there's way more moving pieces with it. The race itself, the course, I'm pretty confident it's locked down. It's all the other stuff, because we're already talking now, we need to add all these really fun things to the course. We need to add all these additional things this year, because it's a sickness, John. It's a sickness.
Yep.
That's
the other thing about, the one thing I don't get to see is the course, because first of all, that's a long way to run. And I'm busy doing other things, but have you been able to really get the rest of the community involved with, some of the businesses and stuff? As we see, as we're recording this, we're a couple of days away from the Disneyland Halloween run. And one of the things unique out there is they run in a park, but then that's such a smaller property. They also have to run in downtown Anaheim, essentially. And because the races had gone away for a long time, the first one they had last January, there weren't a lot of the businesses that were quite involved. Apparently, more of them have become involved now. That's what you're dealing with throughout, and it's easy to say to Oak and Stone, and just it was shout out to the restaurant at the hotel that I eat at every single time I'm there. Hey boy, come out and cheer the runners on, but they obviously want to see Yeah, we're gonna be pro St. Pete, but we also see a return on your investment. How has that come along with getting those that may not be official sponsors, but they're involved in the race itself?
Yeah, well, so the director of fun, Michelle's here. We actually brought on Michelle that she's super passionate about it. She's part of our team, and I think that the one message that really resonated with us is, you got to figure out how to make 13 miles as fun as possible. And so, I think any of us that have run, races before, there's a lot of times where it's really not fun at all. And I don't know why the hell I'm doing this in the first place. So, our goal is to make it a 13 mile street party. And Michelle, our director of fun, has really been instrumental in that and has actually been out building relationships all along the course and offering them opportunities to not only showcase their products, for coming out and cheering on the runners, but also ways of us donating money back to some of the groups and really helping get the community involved, because it's good for them and it's really good for the event. So it's a really nice reciprocal relationship, and but it takes time and it takes effort, and that's why we brought in a big team, and Michelle really spearheaded that, and it's it makes a big difference. I mean, to be out there and have a drag queen that's, barking encouragement, or maybe not so much encouragement at you, is
having some insults.
Yeah, a couple of insults, having a slice of pizza, or perhaps, although we don't condone this or support this, but perhaps a drink on the course. So there's a lot of elements.
By the way, there were air quotes going on, folks, when that happened. We don't condone this.
We don't. So it takes a year round effort, really, but it's also authentic, because we really want to show off the businesses and the organizations that line the course, because there's a lot of them. And when we talked about the course earlier, we had a lot of choices, and there's a very popular 5K running route here in St. Pete, which is along the water, which is gorgeous, no mm-hmm. question about it. But for us, we have that part of our course, but we've also extended down Central Avenue in places that you don't traditionally see running events, because it's very expensive, it's complex. But we thought it was important to show off those areas of the city, and also those businesses that line the course. So it's very intentional what we're doing in terms of creating 13 mile street party. It's hard, but I think it really pays dividends for both the businesses and the runners.
Yeah, and it really is a big difference, and you don't have costume characters that you can put out there. But
We
brought mascots on now that are the mascot run now, I believe, is larger than the 5K.
We had to run them in waves this year. So many.
I know. It's quite amazing.
We are always aiming to get you to that next finish line, and we've created an exciting opportunity for you guys coming up with Galloway Customized Training. Check the show notes for more information on how to sign up, and here's Chris with a little more about Customized.
Hi, I'm Chris Twiggs, Chief Training Officer at Galloway Training Programs and coach of Galloway Customized Training. When Jeff Galloway and I put together Customized Training, our goal was to offer the best value in professional coaching for runners and walkers. Starting from a questionnaire to determine your current fitness, goals, and commitments to family and work, I build a schedule that's perfect for you, but it doesn't end there. Each week, with your feedback, I adjust your plan to help you reach your goals, and I introduce you to a worldwide family of customized runners and walkers who are cheering you on. I look forward to working with you and to being your coach and your biggest fan as we run, walk, run with Galloway Customized Training.
But you mentioned, Ryan, and this is something really want to focus on too, is all of the charity stuff that goes on for a Run Fest weekend. Because for me and my lovely wife Jody, who's my co-host, she's the host. I'm helping out as a race announcer. The only thing that really changes a lot for us year to year is there seems to be more charity hey, let's mention these guys. We've added this on. Who did you start with? Where has that gone? What are some of the charities that you want to focus on? Because there's a lot of money raised for some really terrific and some really unique charities.
Yeah, well, thanks, John. I mean, so the first charity we started with is still our charity, the St. Pete Free Clinic. And I'll give you a stat. We were with them last week. And and those that aren't familiar with the St. Pete Free Clinic, it's the food bank. They provide free health services. They help provide free dental services. So it's an amazing group within our community. And I'd say the one thing that's it's a negative is their demand is through the roof. And so meaning that they can't provide enough services fast enough to support the amount of demand in our community. And a number really stood out to me. 1.5 million people were provided food from the food bank last year. 1.5 million. So St. Pete, 400,000 people, Pinellas County, like maybe a couple million. So we're talking over half of the people in St. Pete had to go to the food bank to get food to help support their family. And it just really stuck out to me as a number that was really something that is eye-opening. And so as a result, they're still to continue to be our primary charity. So we're raising money for them, for our community, because it really is we're raising money for our neighbors in a lot of cases, right? Because that many folks are impacted. I think it's important that we do our part. So they're a huge, huge piece of the event. And a couple others too. We actually added one that's probably near and dear to you and Jody's heart, Pet Pal, was added this year. And we are adding it's going to be very competitive and, well, maybe not that competitive, but a dog race / walk, the Pelopaws walk, which is going to be on Friday evening at Runfest, which I am very excited to hear you and Jody announce. And of course, Pet Pal is helping shelter, you know, dogs that, you know, really need the help, right? And they're also going to be doing a puppy cuddle station this year. So,
that's where if you need me, you know where to find me.
Then I think clearly. We'll be able to find you and Jody over there. that's a great group. And then a couple others I'll mention. The St. Pete Youth Farm has been our partner. They're also our primary partner for the Pier Run. We met them a few years back, actually, because of our sustainability efforts. We didn't have any place to help do anything with our composting. They actually took all of our compostable Gatorade cups from the course, which we used to use. We don't use them anymore. We use reusable cups now. And they actually planted 5,000 seedlings in their farm on the south side of St. Pete to grow, you know, fresh food and vegetables in our community. So just an inspiring group. They're part of the event in a huge, huge way. And then Pediatric Cancer Research is another. And we have way, way more than this, but those are our primary partners. And they're for Pediatric Cancer Research, have been with us since the inception as well.
Gold Together.
Yeah, Gold Together. And that's the main beneficiary of our kids race on November 16th. So
amazing. Yeah, I think you guys do a great job too, educating people about your charities. So I think that's really important to get them involved. And there's a lot of educational stuff going on there with those folks. All right, and I'm jumping around here, and I'm to our editor Weston. Hey, this is what you get, Weston. It's just me and the Jordan boys here talking about. And I always forget you guys are from New Hampshire, and so is my wife. So I'm surrounded by all these New England folks.
Live free or die. Yep.
Live free or die. Or run the St. Pete Run Fest if you want. Yeah. That's a more pleasant thing. Yeah. 4th of July, which is my lovely wife's, as we segue, birthday. That's what all the fireworks are for, folks. Just ask her. You decided a few years ago, hey, you know what? This year-round overlapping, all-encompassing thing we do in November, not enough. We need to add something. Where did the idea come from Pier Run? And I have to tell you, I'm a bit amazed at how well attended it is and how many runners we get out. First of all, it's 4th of July morning, and I'm assuming everybody was up drinking the night before. That's just me. Maybe that's – I don't know how you people go through your 4th of July, but mine generally starts – my birthday is the 2nd, so it starts then and moves through. Yep. But
the runners, but we were out drinking the night before.
Yes, exactly. And then I don't know if people know this or not, but in St. Petersburg on the 4th of July, it's hot. It's hot, people. It's warm in the morning. How did that come about? And are you surprised by the success?
I mean, to some degree, yeah. I mean, and to answer the question, we going back to the city relationship, the city asked us to put it on. It was right after the COVID years. Our beautiful, you know, the St. Pete Pier was just opening and while the rest of the world was closing. And so we didn't really have an opportunity to show it off. So there hadn't been any really big events on the pier. So the city came to us and said, hey, what do you think about working together to figure out logistics? How do you, you know, manufacture and support and operate a large scale event on the pier? And that's why we decided to do it. So it was really in partnership with the city. And yeah, I think in terms of the growth, I mean, to some degree, but then again, we look at a couple of examples. First off, there's not a lot of races on July 4th here.
That I was going to say that's one that we talked about on a most race weekend. And, you know, obviously 4th's going to fall on where it falls, but on most race weekends, people have choices. But, you know, if for some reason you're one of those people who doesn't want to just nurse your hangover watching English Premier League soccer practice or whatever sport is on, you're looking for a race.
Yeah. So, it's, I mean, so, we don't have a lot of, you know, competition necessarily. And then we can also point to, you know, Atlanta has a pretty good sized road race on July 4th. And if you've ever been to Atlanta in July, it's pretty hot there too. And so
and that's hilly.
I think there's hilly and hot.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's been pretty, and by the way, the venue is so cool. And it really makes it, right? Being out on Spa Beach, having the sunrise, it's a really, I think it's really amazing. So answer your question, long-winded. Yeah, I mean, to some degree, I think we're a bit surprised, but I think now that you see it, and I think that has potential to grow a lot. I mean, we had over 3,000 this year. I think the sky's the limit on that just because of the venue and the fact that it actually, again, interesting fact, it's, I think, the second largest running day of the year behind Thanksgiving. Maybe not in Florida.
It's not in Florida.
Maybe not in Florida. But
that surprises me.
It's a really popular running day. So I think there's something, I think we got something here.
I think people just want to be able to justify the calories they're going to intake later on in the day. And it's like, I've done this. I'm fine. I'm all good. Yeah, I tell you, and I did not know that about 4th of July, frankly. It's been remarkable how many people, how it grows, and then how many people have reached out to me and said, hey, that 4th of July, what's the deal, you know, with that? But it is beautiful. Again, we can't overstate enough how the aesthetically pleasing St. Petersburg area is showcased in both of these runs. All right, now let's and I don't want to tie you guys up for all day, but I do want to ask about the athletes themselves that you've seen. And Keith, I want to start with you. You've done this for a long time, and you've done a lot of different races.
Oh.
From the beginning of RunFest to now, what have you seen from the athletes? Is it the greater growth of people who are performance oriented, or just seeing more and more people who look at this as maybe a starting place for their running adventure? They're not going to fly out to Des Moines for the Des Moines Marathon right now, but hey, here's a beautiful place where I can do this. It's a good place to start my running journey. And then also the more and more runners with disabilities that we're seeing showing up, and the inclusivity of races for folks like that, because that is a very, very quickly growing part of the running community.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's much more experiential based now for a lot of people. And it's something that's near and dear to our heart. The fast people, we love them, and they're still really fast. That group is still there. We have a lot of people, so it's a 5K. For them, that might be the most important thing they've ever done, right? So for us, like, we approach it, how do we make this feel like the Olympics for everyone who's doing the race, right? And that's the last place person who we actually have the Pelly Party Pacers who actually come in with those people to celebrate them. So to us, I think we're getting more and more people that are doing this for the experience. And it actually, it's kind of, you know, how I always approach it too. It's like, all right, so there has to be a compelling reason to get up at 4 a.m, go wait in line to park your car, then wait in line to use a porta potty, then run or walk or do whatever for a little while and then drive home. So you're spending half your day doing something where I could just go outside, walk out my front door and run 3 miles.
Sure.
So part of it is like the experience has to be important. It has to be something. Why would I do this otherwise? Why would I spend money to go do this just to run? I can just do this outside. So I think it's certainly our approach, like, how do you make every person feel really, really important? Because to some people, this is their Olympics, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of the distance. If that's a half marathon, that's tremendous. If it's your first 5K and you're finishing that, it's incredibly meaningful to you. So I think any and all, I think I certainly see a lot more people doing it for the experience, which is part of the reason. All right, how do we make it compelling? Is the course beautiful? Yes. Is when they show up, are they welcomed? Is it like a special experience when they show up? Post-race is an experience. So we're seeing more and more of that. The fast people are still fast. The fast people are fast. Yeah. But then you have all these, then you have everyone else. So I definitely see it much more. There's a lot more. I'm going to finish this, or this is something I want to do for myself. I haven't done this before. You haven't run, or I haven't done this. And then you have other people like, I lived in Atlanta for a while. I used to run the Peachtree Road Race, and there were a lot of people who would do that. They'd run one day a year. They'd run the Peachtree Road Race just to prove that they could run a 10K every year. They weren't doing it to be, oh, I need to be super competitive, because the reality is 90% of the people entering this race, they're not really, are they trying to win the race? No. I mean, actually, there's very few people that are trying to do that. Are they trying to win a race with themselves and challenge themselves? I mean, I think that's actually what's interesting to us too.
Yeah.
And that's, that's where the gold is, I guess. So I see more and more of that. And actually that's what inspires us. So we love those stories. We love those people who,
Yeah, and you get a pretty good.
The person that finishes last and the person that finishes first, sorry, whoever wins the race, but
No, honestly, sure. I mean, and you get a pretty good percentage, because I always check at the, Jody and I always check at the start line and stuff, how many people running their first 5K, 10K, half marathon, and every year, more and more. You're seeing more and more people, and as the event becomes more known to people, and as we've said, and I think we said this off recording, because again, that was 40 minutes ago, and I can't be required to remember that far in advance. It is the fastest growing participatory sport in America. Is more and more people running, and to your point, whether they're doing it for one day or they're something that they're training for year round, and they're looking for races every weekend. All right. A couple of more things before we get to our final questions that we ask all of our guests. If people want to get information on St. Pete Run Fest, you have your website, you have any number of ways to get in touch with you, but you are also, you're very active on social media. Because I don't understand social media. In any way, shape, or form.
Nor do I.
Can you see the increased engagement with your social media over the last few years?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think both the growth in terms of not only social, but even the metrics that we measure in terms of like Google, right? So we have a lot of analytics coming through, and the numbers are exponential from when we started. Of course, our audience is a lot larger now after doing the race a few years. So now we've seen a huge spike and increase in both our engagement through things like Meta, which would be Facebook and Instagram. Starting to see even more on our TikTok and Twitter, which aren't huge for investment areas, but growing. And again, our just our Google presence and analytics in terms of those that are searching or adopting or absorbing our content on our website too. So we're seeing a huge increase.
Yeah. And I think people need to realize too, a lot of people are checking in on races that they're not taking part in because they either couldn't or didn't work out for them. So, I see a lot more when I'm reading my comments on your stuff, a lot more, highlighting somebody and saying, we need to do this. Hey, we need to get involved in this. And then I don't know if you have the answer to this analytic, and this is getting desperately close to math, which makes Johnny uncomfortable. But how about repeat runners, Ryan? What's your percentage? Because again, we always ask those questions. How many people have been here 4 years? How many people are back? How many people is this your first year? What are your percentages there for people coming back and running a second, third, fourth, fifth, perfect?
Yeah. So if we just look year over year, it's right around 50%.
Okay.
Our runners, which is very high in the industry. I know when we first started, I figured, oh, everyone's going to do this every year. Not so, because people have life that takes place. And we're seeing roughly half of our participants run year over year.
That's really good.
We're very proud of. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a testament to the community and those that helped put this thing on. But yeah, around 50%.
That's very, very good. Well done, Eddie. And as I also said, a lot of people are, you know, hey, I'm going to run on this weekend, and they've got a lot of different races to choose from, particularly in November when the weather clearly better than it was just in Disneyland and as we've already mentioned, the Pier Run. All right, we're gonna get to our questions that we ask everybody. And Keith, I'll start with you with this one, and then you can throw it to Ryan with the same question. When you find yourself in a difficult place in either what you're doing day in and day out working on the Run Fest, or if you yourself are running, how do you motivate yourself to keep going?
I wish you asked him first, then I could have. I'd have
more. All right, go ahead. We can do that.
How do I motivate myself?
Because you get between a rock and a hard place, and a lot of us would like to just shut down, but you can't do that. And just the same as those folks who are out there running their first or their 101st, you get to a point where, man, I want to stop. Is there something that helps motivate you get through that point?
Take a nap.
Which is difficult in the middle of a race, though.
Actually, honestly, what motivates, I grew up as an artist. So to me, the creative aspect, I love, and it motivates me every day. I love to create. So every day, they get tired of seeing it. What do you think about this? Hey, what do you think about this? And so to me, it is the Walt Disney thing. Like, I actually very rarely lack motivation. I'm pretty good with that. So I love to create, and some days, if I come up with a good idea, and actually it really focuses me. So I do pretty well, usually most of the time. It doesn't take much to inspire me typically. Yeah. So
he has done six full Ironmans, John. So
okay. So I think nobody likes an overachiever, Keith. Nobody likes an overachiever. All right. Well, let me jump back to that. When you're training for an Ironman, because that is just, I can't wrap my head around that. And I have friends who do it. Obviously there are times when you're out there, you're 13 miles into the marathon portion of that or whatever. And it's like, I've just hit a wall. Are you one of those people who says, okay, I need to get to that sign down the road, and once I get there, then I'll get to the next signpost? Or you just self-motivated enough where you can just say, no, I've come to finish this?
That's why I got into it. I would never get into it to win. I'm not going to win an Ironman. I'm not super fast. And I kind of got into Ironman. I had a really good friend, my best friend growing up. And this actually, I got involved in all this stuff was, he was really, really overweight, didn't do anything. And one day I'm out driving around, and he was, I was living with him at the time too. And I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden I see him running. I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is a guy, he didn't do any of this stuff. He just horrible diet. And he's like, I'm going to run the Atlanta Marathon. And he had been trained. He hadn't told anyone about it. And at that point I played sports. I was like, I don't want to run. Like, that's running. I want to play like real sport.
Right, I need a score, some sort of ball.
Yeah, I'm going to do something. I was so inspired by him. He was probably 300 pounds at the time. I was like, dude, I'll run it with you. That's kind of how I got into endurance sports. Then I finished that with him, and then I go into my office, my business, and I told, my partner at the time, I said, yeah, but you could never do an Ironman. I was like... And that was how the Caesar said. I was like, yeah, I can. Actually, when I started, I couldn't even swim. I had never been swimming before. Never really been on a bike. I ran. I was like, I can learn anything in a year. So it was never to win, which is also why I love all these people who are doing these things. What are their reasons for doing them? It's a very personal decision. So yeah, for me to do it, I'm just going to finish. I'm going to go. I can go really slow for a really long time. I should say I used to be able to. Now I don't. That's old me. Those days are bygone. But
I appreciate you, because I'm always looking for a reason. All right, I don't know, the knee's feeling a little bad right now. Maybe might be doing damage. All right, Ryan, how about you? You find yourself in one of those places where you're like, Jesus, I just want to chuck it aside and quit. How do you motivate yourself to keep going?
I like to eat and drink, John. So it's pretty, actually, it often, that was a big part of it. Now, I'm a simple man, but the truth of it is that really is the big motivator for me. I mean, to me, I like the way I feel when I'm done. And so, you got to get yourself in a routine. And I always say, just take the first step, right? So, and then I just think about how good I feel when I'm done. And then then I can go do what I want to do. And then it becomes really habit forming in a good way. And I'd say that's my motivator is really ultimately, how I feel from it. And I know how much better I feel when I get it done. Even if it's not those days like today, I didn't feel great, but I'm like, I got to get 15 minutes in. And it makes tomorrow easier.
Yeah.
And it makes the next day easier. It's like when you say, I'm going to take today off, that's when I think you're yourself in trouble, and it becomes inconsistent, and then everything becomes more difficult. So I use the motivation of eating and drinking, which is another way of just trying to stay not being obese, or keeping yourself healthy, and that's how I've been able to do it. The other thing I would say too for me is the mental piece of it. I just think about like when I'm not running. It's my time to kind of clear my head and get away from this computer, which I spend way too much time in front of. So
right.
I think the benefits of running really outweigh the, or working out, I'll put that in the, then the outweigh just even the physical benefits. I think the mental and wellness components of it, I think really help with the mindfulness and attacking the stress. Cause I got a lot, we all have a lot of stress in our lives, and I think that's the just kind of get away and be by yourself and focus on yourself. And I think it's really important.
All right. Good answer. Finally, final question before we get at you to give everybody your social media stuff and all that, your website and all of that. I take that off of myself, so I don't have to do it. In case you get it wrong, it's all you. Keith, most inspiring thing you've ever seen at a race?
Rick and Dick Hoyt. Back in the day, they used to race my events every year, and it was incredible. I remember we used to help, obviously just the coordination to have people to get them in out of the water. The thing that I remember, obviously crossing the finish line is amazing, but one of the biggest things, we had a hill, which were our foreign things here in Florida, and our event, it was, I forget the grade, it was some absurd grade. And all I could remember is watching Dick Hoyt with Rick on his handlebars going up this, I don't know, it's barely, I mean, if you went off the bike, you weren't going to get back on and be able to go because it was so steep.
Yeah.
And he's got him on his handlebars biking up this massive, massive hill with Rick on his handlebars is something I'll never forget.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And
yeah,
so
they ran Disney. Rick and Dick, and they're both gone now, and rest in peace for both of them. Cause they were incredibly inspirational. If you've ever seen I saw the Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel when they talked about them and then got to actually see them in person at a Disney race. So pretty inspiring. Ryan, how about for you? Most inspiring thing you've ever seen at a race?
I would say it was just last year. We introduced this party pacers idea, a way to celebrate the back of the Packers. So the folks that, don't get all, a lot of times you get to races and the food's picked over and there's no one at the finish line. So the folks that come in the back third. So, again, the director of fun, Michelle Sear, created a group of our ambassadors, high energy, all dressed up, making lots of noise. And they would just kind of run the back, part of the course with those to motivate and inspire the, some of these athletes that are running their first half marathon. And so we started the program. I wasn't 100% sure how it was all going to work. And Michelle assured me that, this is going to work. It's going to be amazing. And I tell you, we're getting ready to get ready for our post-race dance party underneath the finish line, which we do at the end of every run fest. And so we got a big group, everyone's cheering, going nuts. And then around the corner, because our finish line actually has a bend and then it comes down, it's beautiful, right to the finish line. And you see this, what seemed to be, I don't know, it seemed like 1,000 people. It wasn't 1,000.
It looks like a parade.
It was eight.
It was amazing.
I'm getting goosebumps now, as a matter of fact. And it was, yeah, so the last finisher had worked really hard. We knew her. She's part of our rookie program. So we developed a rookie program to help train, outfit, and train, you know, first-time half marathoners. And we didn't know that. And so she's they come around the bend and they finish all together. It was just a sea of positivity. And it was really, everyone was in tears. It was awesome. It was really, really awesome. And that is by far the most inspirational thing I've seen, because it was the team coming together and just the way we celebrated, you know, someone accomplishing something that was very important to them for the first time. They didn't think they could do it. And then to help them across the finish line was pretty good.
As I always say, everybody's got a story crossing that finish line. And boy, if you start to get to know them, you find out, you know, it's everybody who signs up. I always say this, you have to sign up. That's the easy part. Then you have to show up. That's a little more difficult for people. And then step up. And for stepping up, just do the best that you can possibly do. It doesn't matter to you the point you make, whether you're first or you're last, crossing that finish line. If you've set a goal for yourself, great, you know, go for that goal. But crossing that finish line, and I agree, there's never a dry eye in the house when you're watching those, the, you know, that last group of finishers who you know have worked as hard to get there and probably never thought that they would. All right, people want to find out about St. Pete Run Fest. Give us your website, all of those sort of addresses and things that the 60-year-old race announcer doesn't understand.
www.stpeterunfest.org. That's the easy one. Actually, they're all pretty easy. The Facebook is going to be at St. Pete Run Fest. And then Instagram is at stpeterunfest.org. So,
and we'll have those in the show notes too. Ryan, Keith, it's great to see you guys in September. I think we're maybe 10 weeks out at this point. Something from, I don't know. Again, I'm just sure they're
pushing a little too fast.
Yeah, we're we're 2 months out, John. 2 months out.
All right. We'll look forward to it. Thanks for spending some time with us on 3-2-1 Go, the podcast. And I will talk to you guys down the line.
Thanks, John.
All right, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Before we wrap up, we want to give a special shout out to our friend Sarah Akers with Runs on Magic. Now, Sarah is a passionate Run Disney enthusiast. She loves nothing more than helping you plan those magical Run Disney weekends. But with her expertise, the possibilities are endless. Whether you're dreaming of a honeymoon escape, an all-inclusive girls trip, a boys trip to Las Vegas, a family cruise, international adventure, whatever it is, Sarah is here to make it happen. Best part? Her travel planning services are completely complimentary. Sarah creates personalized itineraries and specializes in Run Disney, Universal, and cruise vacations. And for our listeners, she's offering a special promo. Use the code 321GO when requesting your vacation quote, and you could receive up to a $200 Disney gift card or booking credit, depending on your destination. You can connect with Sarah on Instagram at RunsOnMagic for the latest offers and more, or reach out to her directly at runsonmagictravel@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Sarah, and thank you all for listening. We'll see you soon.